Okay, we're back out of recess, and we're going to continue on with the budget. And we are on fire. Mayor, if you could bring us through that and the page number you're on. Thank you. Can the administration hear us okay?
Thank you, Mr. President and members of the council. Fire is on page 34 of the budget book and page 22 to 23 of the personnel supplement. When you look at fire, again, I'm proud to say that salaries and overtime were flat in total. There's a reduction in holiday and sick time. The total compensation budget for the department was $22.3 million in fiscal year 20, and it's $22.1 million in fiscal year 21. The total compensation was $22.1 million in 18 and has been flat for the last 3 years. Our budget decreased from $24 million last year to $24.2 million this year. So we've had a decrease from 24.2 to 24 million, and that includes, mind you, overtime costs. Relative to personnel, we have not hired any additional firefighters, nor have we started any training classes. We were embarking along that path prior to COVID, but there are no classes, nor is there any training sessions, nor would they be able to train had a class been started. So we have not incurred any cost in salaries in that area, nor expenses in education in that area. Hopefully, as this virus calms down and vaccines are discovered, we can resume as normal as possible to what we were in the past and continue with classes, education, expansion. But we're heading in the right direction. And like I said, there's a $200,000 decrease from last year to this year, and that also includes overtime costs. And that's pretty significant. And I'm proud of the accomplishments that have occurred over there. We've got our fire chief and our two deputies that do a great job. And just as in our police department, there's always a desire for new and advanced equipment. We've been able to get some advanced equipment thankfully from the federal government. We have a new heavy apparatus vehicle, and we hopefully had, well, we were on the 1 yard line with another piece of equipment on its way. We've been able to acquire pre-used equipment that is in decent functional shape, may be old, may not have much mileage on it, but it's functional to assist us in fighting fires and providing public safety measures. In addition to that, we do the best to keep our firefighters safe in both the equipment they utilize and training, up-to-date training. We have not been hit like other communities have been hit with the victims of this virus as volume wise. And that's miraculous since one of the key hospitals and treating facilities lies within our border in the city here, Kent County Hospital. And our fire department and its leadership has taken many precautions, worked in conjunction with not just Kent County, but Rhode Island Hospital, Merriam, and taking precautionary measures not to contaminate people that they're rescuing or providing services for, and themselves. There has been a significant decontamination and cleanliness provisions in place to mitigate any spread of this virus among people that have been in contact with sick people that have this virus. And I don't have to tell you about the number of nursing homes, long-term facilities that we have within our border that these that fire and rescue service. They've done a great job through this virus and pandemic. And, you know, we've worked together to put together a budget that is functional and operational. I'm hoping that federal dollars and assistance continue to come in to address new equipment and apparatus. And I'm also hoping that working together and emergency management, so forth, that we will acquire reimbursement for a lot of the expenses that we've incurred in addressing the this pandemic before us. Any questions?
Yeah, Mayor, one of our sources of income for the fire department are rescue runs. And I didn't know if we saw an increase or a decrease in rescue runs as a result of the COVID crisis. On the one hand, not as many cars on the road, so maybe accidents are down, but maybe because of illness, we're seeing more rescue runs. And I didn't know if that revenue impacted the budget at all, or if you're projecting that.
Well, revenue also always impacts the budget. It's the revenue that gets reimbursed. As I indicated to you, there are a couple of, well, a few facilities within the city that house a vulnerable population relative to this pandemic. To say that our rescue personnel and our fire personnel are not called to those facilities would be disingenuous. They are called, and they are treating patients or moving patients as carefully as possible. And again, it goes back to seeking additional compensation from the state for an added duty that's related to this pandemic before us, which I think contains all the elements of this money allocated to the state, the $1.25 billion. This isn't an issue that it's just a reimbursed normal function. Their functions are increased. Their runs may be increased. Where there's insurance, as you know, then the council has awarded, we seek reimbursement from insurance companies on this. Where there isn't insurance or the person is uninsured, I'm looking to the state, as you are, Council President, to reimburse us and the taxpayers of the city for this additional service that is not the normal course of our service in normal operations or in normal times. Whether it be Wyndham or any other housing facility or hotel, those are runs we would never normally make because, again, there was never a virus around the, this virus raised its head in the last 3 months. It wasn't here a year ago, or maybe it was, I don't know, but not detected.
So as far as the rescue revenue goes, do we have a projection? Would Mike or Billy know what that projection is as far as rescue runs?
I'll defer to Mr. D'Amico.
Yes, Council President. We normally get the rescue run revenue a couple of months after the actual rescue run. And since the crisis is only really approximately two months old since the first shutdowns in the middle of March, it has not had an appreciable impact on our rescue run revenue that we see yet. And so as for budgeting purposes, we essentially assumed it's flat year on year, because it's just too early to know what the impact might be. I have not heard either anecdotally or otherwise that there's been either a significant increase or decrease in the rescue runs to this point.
And Mayor, you had also talked about overtime, which as long as I've been on the council and you've been on the council, many mayors have talked about. And you also talked about the fact that you, because of COVID, have not filled positions. Traditionally, that means that overtime goes up. But how many positions is a full complement on the fire department, if anybody has that number? And what is our complement now?
I know we're below full complement.
You're at 184 now?
We're at 184 now. And I believe it's two change for the full complement, Councilman.
I think at one time it was around 220, I remember.
And unfortunately, as I stated, with the implementation of new shifts and things of that nature, things are really kicking in. And I thank the bargaining units that have worked with us, and it shows in this year's budget.
So correct me if I'm wrong, now I think you said 187, so it's and what I recall around 220 would be around 30. What was that?
184, Councilman.
184. Yeah. And Bill, what was the
220?
212.
So
28.
Okay. Which we've gone back and forth many years. When you're down that many, it traditionally goes up, and obviously there's some savings associated with not filling the positions. Obviously, in this case, it's because of COVID. Are there any other questions from council members on the fire department budget?
Mr. President?
Yes, Councilman. So
I think where you got the 220 from was some time ago. The full complement was 212, plus they had an extra or an additional 8 floaters to bring it up to 220. But I want to expound on the rescue revenue, because I believe Mayor Solomon at the time was Council President Solomon when I had sponsored, an ordinance increasing the revenue fees, which I believe was unanimously supported by the council. These fees, of course, have no impact on the residents. These were fees charged to the out-of-city runs and to the insurance companies. And I know everyone on the council at the time was pretty excited about it, because it did represent a significant increase in revenue per run. So with that said, I was wondering if anyone would have the numbers from the rescue revenue prior to that ordinance being passed, and as in comparison to what it is currently.
I recall that ordinance that I think was co-sponsored by a number of colleagues, Councilman, and supported, as you indicated, unanimously. I don't have those numbers in front of me, but I'm sure we can get them to you.
So as a positive note, is it
Oh, I'm sure it's positive, Councilman. I'm sure it's positive.
Mayor, I didn't say it was positive. I said on a positive note, is it fair to say that we have benefited from the increased fees charged from the rescue?
Councilman, that's a no-brainer, and I totally agree.
Thank you. Yeah, I agree it's a no-brainer too. So, you know, perhaps when we get the numbers, you will see the results. Another question on line item 35105, salary, fire two. The revised budget was increased and resulted in a proposed amendment of just about a little over $700,000. And if someone could explain what that added 700 plus.
And again, it was not increased. It was reallocated, and that's back to what we had discussed yesterday in the reappropriation, Councilman Lattiser, the 775. And when you factor that in from last year to this year, it's more of a like minus 0.07% from last year's budget to this year's budget. That's after that reappropriation of the 775, which was technically part of last year's budget, but put on the line that you're restoring in. When we were doing the prior arbitration of the prior contract before we took office.
Yes, I remember it from last night. I think it was actually like 733,000. But so it brought it up to 15,880,000, and the year-end forecast is 15,100,000. So there's a $700,000 difference between what is proposed on being spent this year, which my projection, just again using the 11,824,000 by 10 months times 12 months gives us 14,189,000, but what's being projected here is 15,100,000. So there's still a $700,000 difference there.
Sure. And again, I think I can best advocate this for you by bringing it down to the lower part of page 35. If you take the 24,210,315, and you do your reallocation of the 775, which would have been part of that, and compare that to our proposed budget this year of 24, which is the last column at the bottom, 24,039,135, you'll see where this year's budget is less than last year's budget.
I understand that, I see that, but I still don't see the $700,000 difference.
But that's because that's part of your reappropriation. That's the 775 we discussed yesterday. That is being added on the line to the 24,210. Take that, compare it to the 24,039. And that's your decrease in budget.
All right, thank you.
Are there any other questions from council members?
I have a question.
Yes, Councilman McAllister.
Thank you. Light item 35360, professional services. What is entitled in the professional services? What's that consist of?
That's that $60,000 figure, Councilman.
Correct.
Hold on. I've got the sheet. I had it yesterday. The paper chase.
Page 35.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. This is to Councilman McAllister.
Yes.
That was line item.
That was line item 35,360,000.
No, I'm sorry. This is temporary services, not professional services. I'll get to the right thing. Sorry, Mayor. I pointed you in the wrong direction.
If I'm speaking loudly, I apologize. We're in a large room here, and as I've got a small camera in front of me, a distance away, and I just want to make certain that everyone can hear me. It's not any indication of anything else. I could speak softly, but then you wouldn't hear me. You got it? Just bear with me one second.
Mr. President, once this question is answered, I do have a follow-up question.
Yes.
Thanks. That, Councilman McAllister?
Yes, sir.
That is for the position of medical.
Medical director.
Medical director for services, which was classified in a different item of the budget, which is necessary.
Improve patient quality to help increase the revenue.
To improve patient quality of health.
For rescue billing.
Great. So that'll generate some revenue.
Yes.
It makes money.
Correct. Yeah. All right. And the hydrant rental, those are the hydrants we have to rent from Kent County.
Yes. That's correct. And okay. That's mandatory.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Councilor, I have a follow up. So I'd like to go back to the 35105, Mayor Solomon. And in the revised budget for 2020, the revised budget was 23,477,211. And there was an increase in salary budget of 700,000 plus to bring it up to $24,210,315. So my point is, there was in fact a $700,000 plus increase in salaries for the fire department. Isn't that correct?
I disagree with that assessment. However, I'm going to allow Mr. Michael D'Amico to answer your question so that you and I just don't go back and forth with it.
So, Councilman, as we explained last night, there was approximately $730,000 budgeted for fire salaries in a different department. And that was because we were in an arbitration with the firefighters, and it was in the city's best interest not to budget that in the department here. But for clarity, in the proposed amended column, we are now showing where that money was truly meant for and where it should be allocated. And we have moved that amendment, a resolution with an amendment to do that and reclassify that money into this budget. And that's why you see it is not in fact an increase of $700,000, it's just a transfer, but that money had always been budgeted for use in the fire department. It was just budgeted in another line item.
Employee benefits.
In an employee benefits line. And we explained the reasons for that last night. Obligation.
Yeah, actually, I agree with you on that. Mr. D'Amico, you explained it quite well last night and relatively clear. To me, as I see this, there is an additional $700,000 that was in benefits, I believe I just heard, that was transferred into the salary line item in the fire department. So the salary line item in the fire department was increased by $700,000. The year-end forecast is $700,000 less than the salary increase. $700,000 less. So I'm questioning the $700,000.
I believe I just explained the $700,000, so perhaps. I feel like we're
again
in circles.
That's fine. Thank you. Apparently, I just
Again, that's the moving of from 75,198 city contractual obligations to 35,105. When you take that figure, it's moved back into the fire department. And I believe, Councilman, that is the line you refer to, 35,105, lo and behold. It's the same one that's on this piece of legislation, sir. It's delineated by line item, budget code line item.
I'm all set, Mr. President.
Okay, are there any other questions from council members on the fire? Okay, any questions from members of the public on fire?
Yes.
There is? Okay, Phil, if you could put that person in. If you could identify yourself for the record.
This is Scott Aaron. Another question on 35.
I can barely hear you.
This is Scott Aaron. Can you hear me now?
You sound very distant.
Okay, well, I'll try to speak up a lot. I had a question on sick time for uniform fire. Your run rate right now looks to be about $650,000. You've expended $467,000 now, but I don't see anything in the budget for next year.
Michael? I believe I can answer that. When we put the budget together, and it's not true just the fire, it's every department, we calculate what someone's salary is, and we put that on the salary line. However, when they are actually paid during the year, if they are paid a week's salary, but they took a sick day, 4/5 of that salary gets charged to the salary line and 1/5 gets charged to the sick time line. So you will see actual charges and you look, and there have historically been actual charges, but no budget because we know we have to pay them 52 weeks and it's never been the practice of the city to try to guess at how many of those 52 weeks might be sick days that are used versus how many weeks they work. So as long as the full 52 weeks are budgeted, you know you've accounted for everything, but when they actually get paid week to week, then you will see actual charges. So really you need to combine those two lines, but that's why you don't see a budget on that line, but you do see actual expenses. And that's common among every city that I am aware of, where you will not budget on that line, but you will charge that line.
Okay, thank you.
And to add to that, if I may, the fire department and the police department, as we all know, have implemented a high-tech computerized system relative to payroll and production of salaries and paychecks and things of that nature. So that where in the past everything was done by paper and was, there maybe have been discrepancies, it has eliminated that aspect of confusion that past administrations had to deal with.
Okay, is there anyone else, Phil, with a question?
No, sir.
Okay, why don't we move on to fire grants?
Page 36. And relative to fire grants, we have in our budget, as I indicated, there's been requests for grants. The department request was 750. This is just the flow through of grants we've applied for to the federal government. We're hoping the 750 will be awarded, and we've been lobbying Washington for this, prior to their dealing with this COVID-19 situation. We've been lobbying them for this grant money before then. So we will continue to lobby for that, which is utilized hopefully for, I think this was a either two pumpers or it was a major piece of apparatus. If we're hoping to get that, if not more, in grants or allocations from the federal government for other equipment. And I feel confident that with our strong base out in Washington and what they've done for the state so far in bringing the $1.25 billion to the state, not to mention other monies, 20 something million to the airport to sustain that, 100 million to RIPTA. We've got some good senators and congressmen that are working hard and will continue to work hard for the state of Rhode Island. And I'm hoping that we receive more than the 750 in grant money.
That was for radios and a ladder truck.
Yeah, that was that specifically, I believe, for radios and a ladder truck. The grant application on that.
And I noticed, Mayor, in 2000, it looks like 18, is it AFG grant? And in 2017, an AFG grant. Have those been expended? And what have they been expended for?
I believe the 2018 was. I think that was the last piece of heavy equipment that we just received.
That was a truck, a brand new truck.
Yeah, that was the, I don't know if you've seen it on the road. It's been probably put to immediate use. We weren't able to have a grand unveiling, but it's a massive, heavy duty fire apparatus that was custom made. And it took I think, a year to be built.
Special hazard truck.
I don't know if you've seen it on the road. It's huge.
Right. And that was something that came from the federal government, a federal grant.
That's correct.
2018 is correct. And then you're projecting for 2020 into 2021, $750,000. Are those the same AFG grants?
There are applications pending that are out there already that have been submitted. And yes, we are projecting for additional grants.
And you believe that
they have been completed and daily submitted, on time submitted. So I know that Washington's got their hands full, but it is, so to speak, time stamped as being received. And we will continue to pursue that.
And this 750 you're hoping is gonna go towards a ladder truck?
Ladder truck and radios.
Radios, okay.
All right. And of course, it doesn't mean that as additional funds become available, that we don't utilize that for additional rescues, as you and I have discussed, since it is a revenue generating aspect of public safety.
Well, I know I've been talking about it for a long time.
I know you have.
That down in Pottawamet, you have the ability to make runs into North Kingstown and East Greenwich and also service the southern part of Route 2 and even into west certain areas of West Warwick. And I've been saying for a long time that if we can afford to get another rescue, that I think, and maybe Mr. D'Amico can correct me, but I think revenue for one rescue is at least 1.2 million. And when you put a rescue in an area that abuts three other cities or towns, I think you got a really good potential to bring in extra revenue.
Yeah.
And I've said to the fire department before that they should consider that. So that'd be something in the future that I think would be well worth the time and effort to get. Is there any other questions on fire grants?
I have a question.
Yes, Councilman Qualley.
Mayor, on line item 38814, looks like Rhode Island EMA, a pass-through grant. Excuse me. I have a question. Last year, the budget said $75,000, but it was ended up costing $87,319. Do you know if the $75,000 came through a federal grant and the remaining $12,000 and $12,319 would be the city's portion to pay for receiving the grant?
Sometimes there's a requirement, Councilman, of a percentage with some of these grants, city contribution, and that comes within the budget of the particular department. I know that the requests are made, and they're made with the contingency as to, on some occasions, a percentage of contribution, and we make certain we're able to fulfill that obligation and that the benefit outweighs the cost to the taxpayers. And for the most part, with the pass-through grants, it is, for the most part, 100% match.
I mean,
no match.
So it's usually not a matching?
Correct. It's a no match.
And this year we're hoping to get $146,435. My question is, how is it that, and I don't know what they use for, just the name of it, emergency, I assume that's Rhode Island
EMA. That is the state version of the federal EMA. We have our local office.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, sometimes the national head right now was the former head of, I think, Rhode Island EMA.
So, that is correct.
They're located, I think their main headquarters is right over in Cranston on Reservoir Avenue across the street from the registry. But they operate in conjunction with not just Warwick, but all cities and towns. As a matter of fact, we have daily calls relative to emergency personnel. The local EMA director is tied into those calls, where notes and resources are combined and utilized, especially in days such as this with the pandemic or disasters such as hurricanes, blizzards, floods, things of that nature. And they coordinate, they help coordinate with the federal office. The PPEs.
Yep.
You know, when we talk about PPEs, they're involved with the PPEs.
Okay. My question is, what is the basis for our hope of almost doubling what we got from last year from, it's like 80% more, I guess, 146,435 rather than the 87,000. And I would assume it's for emergency management activities. So it's not something we could use to buy another truck.
But, well, I think, like I said, it indicates a utilization for PPEs and COVID-19 related issues, things of that nature, reimbursement for expenses related to pandemics or natural disasters. So maybe there's an assurance that so much of this is going to be reimbursed.
All right. Well, thank you. I didn't know it was COVID-19 directed. I thought it...
Well, it's anything similar to that, or floods or hurricanes or anything like that.
But, I hope we don't get the hurricane this year.
Yeah, that's all we're piling on.
That's unnecessary roughness.
Thank you. Thank you, Councilman.
Thank you.
Okay, are there any other questions from council members regarding fire grants? If not, Phil, are there any questions from the public regarding fire grants?
No, sir, no hands raised.
Okay, so we'll move on to emergency management. Mayor, if you could present on that.
Yeah, that would be number? Page 33. Again, that's our local office that works in conjunction with Rhode Island EMA and the federal EMA. They're our local coordinator. The fire chief, Chief McMichael, is the local emergency management director. For a while there, Colonel Rathbun was in that situation. There's basically, I think this, there was a request for $5,200, and we've complied with the request for $5,200. Relative to emergency operations, there was a request of 65, and we went with the 65. For a total of 70,200. And it might be, this is something that isn't normally a major item of a budget, but due to the current times, it's something that has to be budgeted to an extent. We have no capital expenditures budgeted, and we have no elevation grant expenditures. And relative to salaries and things of that nature, emergency grants would be, management would be on page 25 of your personnel supplement. I direct you to page 25. If I'm speaking too loudly again, apologize. I apologize.
So I just had a little mask issue here. My mask broke when I was playing with my earphone, so I apologize.
That's all right. But Warwick Emergency Management, again, $5,200.
And many of that is, much of that money is grant funded, is that right?
That's correct.
Is that whole budget grant
funded? Some communities budget total for that position separately, but we've more or less combined. In the past, I think, and Council President, correct me, the fire chief was always the EMA director, and the reason for us swinging over to the police department was that the fire chief that was here when we took office retired, and he was the only one qualified as an EMA director. And there's a certain required certificates and expertise necessary to be able to access or be eligible for federal and state funds. And at that point, back then, no one in the fire department had that. So I went to the police department, and that back then it was Colonel McCartney, and I think it was Deputy Chief Brad Connor, and neither one had the credentials, though they had EMA credentials. And the third in line was Major, at that time, Major Rick Rathbun, who did have the credentials. So as not to jeopardize any potential reimbursement from the federal or state government, I tapped the major, after asking his superior, Colonel McCartney, to take that post. And the major took that post, became the colonel, and then when we brought on Chief McMichael, who had the credentials, we shifted that position back to the chief of the fire department. So, but we didn't skip a beat. And what brought it to our attention was I think it was the first week I took office as mayor. I think there was a tornado watch, or there was tornadoes in the area. And trying to track down what to do or who to contact, I found out on the weekend there was no contact person. So I can assure you, first thing that Monday morning, we resolved that issue.
Great. Okay, are there any other questions regarding emergency management? Are there any questions, Phil, from members of the public regarding emergency management?
No hands are raised, sir.
Okay, we'll move on to finance, Mayor, if you could direct us to the department.
I believe it's page 17. In the finance budget book, and page 8 in the personnel supplement. In finance, again, I'm proud to say, has undergone a revamping. We have, when I first took office, as we all know, the finance director decided to retire. Brian Sylvia, who at the time was the treasurer, agreed to step up and be acting finance director through that budget that we didn't prepare, but we had to deal with. Brian had already given his acceptance to Coventry, to have moved to Coventry, but he agreed to stay on, and I thank him for that. With the finance department, there was a ton of retirements, not a ton, a lot of retirements for people that have done jobs in particular areas for a long period of time. We've since, through the direction of this administration, the finance director, the treasurer, the CFO, my chief of staff, we've been able to put together a team that has done an exemplary job down there. And really, the finance department is the heartbeat that runs the city. And we were dangerously susceptible when we took office without having a life support system in place. That will never happen to this administration nor any future administration due to the foundation put in place over the last 24 months of this administration. That budget, finance,
and Mayor, are we do we have any vacancies in that department, in the finance department?
We have an acting finance director right now.
Well, I thought she took the position, Mayor.
believe me, if she wasn't competent, Mr. President, if she wasn't competent, I wouldn't rely on her assistance. She's been great, and I really thank her for stepping up to the plate and assisting us. And as you know, Mr. President, she was there when you and I were both on the council, and she remains a stoic and professional. And you can count on accuracy when you request information from her. She's just been great, and we go forward from there. But it's a great department, we'll take it one day at a time as we step forward.
And I was looking at line item 18320, Rhode Island League and Cities and Towns.
Yep.
$36,500. What's that used for?
That's the annual dues that are assessed each and every city and town to become, to be a member of that organization and enjoy the benefits it affords us.
Right.
And the also, knowledge.
And also I see professional services have increased to 115, and we're looking at 104. What type of professional services is the finance department looking at?
I can answer that question, Council President. That's primarily the audit, and we have to go back out to bid for our audit services this year, and the price may go up. There are also money in there for some other small items. The audit makes up the bulk of that. Something like $85,000 to $90,000 of that line item is the audit.
Okay. And I noticed the contingency fund is at $200,000. And I guess it's the proposed amendment was $298,000. Year to date is 142. Year forecast is 200. What are we using the contingency fund for?
I'll have to look up what this year's contingency was used for. I don't have that. I don't have that in front of me.
There's a lot of COVID in there right now.
Yeah, a lot of the COVID spending has been booked to that account while we gather those funds for reimbursement.
So when you say COVID spending, give me some examples of what a COVID spend is.
We bought like a sanitizing spray thing.
The clear plexiglass.
It's been a
slow. That's Slim Prod you're answering, Mr. President.
Yeah, yes, yeah. And Mr. DePasquale, I'm familiar with his voice too. Okay, so in the past, what have we been using the contingency for?
Usually storms. It's really truly contingency. I remember there was a macro burst a couple of years ago. We killed that contingency really quickly.
Okay.
Mr. President, one time I was here, a squirrel went into the air conditioner. We used the contingency for that.
When the annex flooded, we used contingency.
Okay.
Mr. President?
Yes.
At this time, would it be appropriate to, being that we're in the finance portion, would it be appropriate to ask some questions regarding the revenue side of this budget?
Yeah, I don't think revenue is on here, so it probably is appropriate. Go ahead.
Okay. I think it's a fair question, being revenue is the other half of this budget. So I believe that the budget is predicated on a 99% collection rate. And I would like to just get some input on that number based upon the last, say, 5 to 10 years of collection rates.
And is your question, what was our collection rate last year, and what are we anticipating because of COVID-19 this year?
Okay, so sure, I'll rephrase it. What's the collection rates that we have attained over the last 5 to 10 years that as it impacts the budget?
I wouldn't have the collection rate for the last 10 years here, but I can get that information for you. I might be able to refer to last year, but the last 10 years, I'm not prepared to tell you what the collection rate was for the last 10 years. I was sitting where you were. We saw it when we were on the council every year. But I'm going to defer to our finance director, acting finance director. What is the collection rate?
We have budgeted 99%.
We have budgeted 99% for this year, Councilman.
And what was it last year, I think, was the other question. What did the collection rate come in at?
Budgeted 99%.
Last year was also budgeted for 99%, Mr. President.
And
I can't go back historically 10 years, though, unfortunately.
I understand. So, Lynn, do we have an idea of what our collection? Just right now, I mean, we extended our payments out to May 15th from April 15th. And so I think some council members were concerned about, myself included, how we're doing with, because we get 25% in unemployment, if you're seeing any impact on.
If I may answer that, Mr. President.
Yes.
Financially, the city's doing fine with revenue generation in that area and taxes. The general public, the 85,000 people of the city, especially those that have been laid off without pay, are just collecting, or self-employed, who don't have the opportunity to collect due to their sector, appreciated that extension. Much of our taxes are paid through the accrual method with mortgage holders, our mortgage banks, and they're issued by there. But there is no danger of financial solvency of this city due to that 30-day extension that this city took the initiative and the leadership to implement when we were struck by that COVID virus.
Yeah, I don't think
other cities and towns have filed suit. I can't speak for their financial situation, but I can assure you we're not going anywhere.
So, and I agree and supported the administration's decision to give an extension of time. I think it was much needed, consider people, so many people were out of work, historic rates out of work, rates that we haven't seen since the Great Depression in 1929. At the same time, when we served together on the council, you see what a 0.2% difference makes in revenue, or a 0.4%. So we've served together for a long time on the council, and we've seen 98.2, 98.4, and we've had discussions with previous administrations about that. And, I guess what I'm hearing is that you're confident that 99% is, 1% collection, 1% of it would be not be collected, and you're confident that's realistic.
And that's what we're going with at this point in time, Mr. President. However, I don't know what tomorrow holds. I see a stock market that's been pretty aggressive the last week. I see people going back to work. I see some people saying that this virus is going to get worse in the fall. Some people saying it's not even going to be seen in the fall. If we could predict the future, I think we'd all be very wealthy individuals right now. We can't make that prediction. We do what's best with the information at hand. But in addition to the revenue and dollar aspect of this, when society was hit with this COVID-19, it wasn't just a financial impact. It was a mental and stressful impact on a lot of households. Kids home from school, parents, even if they could work, unable to work. It's taken its toll. So this effect is more than just financial. And I am very proud of the fact that I took the initiative, and with your support also, Mr. President, on that 30-day extension. And for that 30 days, of stress release or release of anxiety of the taxpayer, I think we as elected officials did some good outside the financial aspect with no cost financially. I know other people will say, well, we're going to go bankrupt. I've been hearing that for years. We're not going bankrupt. I'm just saying that our actions here today with a 0% increased budget, a zero budget, no increase at all, helps not just financially these people, but mentally, physical, it helps society overall. And I think as we approach a zero increased budget, yeah, we have to shave a little, We've got to work within our confines, but if we're helping our people, our constituency,